Even before the results of the Russian election are in, Washington has been preparing to work with a second Putin administration. Russia watchers here are still raising many of the questions they did when Putin first came to power 4 years ago. Who is he, and where is Russia heading? NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports the answers are decidedly mixed.
Washington think tanks held so many pre-election debates about Putin that Nikolai Zlobin had to joke about it at the Heritage Foundation.
I spent last few weeks in Russia and came back with a feeling that it's much more talk about Russian elections here than in Russia.
Zlobin of the Center for Defense Information was full of darkly humorous views about Putin's Russia. When describing Russia's economic successes of late, he said simply, capitalism won, but democracy lost, explaining that even in Russia's new parliament, there are few who oppose Putin.
You know, Boris Glazlov, speaker of Russian Duma, he said, the speaker of the Duma, he said, Duma is not a place for political debate.
Like Zlobin, other speakers raised concerns about the Kremlin's heavy hand in the last parliamentary elections, the lack of an independent media, the ongoing war in Chechnya, and continued corruption despite Putin's crackdown on some of the so-called oligarchs. A well-known Russian journalist, Yulia Latynina, gave a fiery speech that touched on the jailing of oil tycoon Mikhail Khodorkovsky.
It certainly increased Putin's power, because now no oligarch will speak against Mr. Putin. It increased Mr. Putin's power to such extent that now the main danger for Mr. Putin lies not in the oligarchs, but in his personal friends who surround him and who are very incompetent and very greedy.
The Khodorkovsky affair did raise alarms in Washington. Bush administration officials began speaking out more vocally about Russia's democratic failings and the need for rule of law. But few here are as critical as Latynina. There is still a school of thought that Putin is providing much-needed stability, and he's a pragmatic man with whom Washington can do business. Celeste Wallander of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says that it's always been hard to tell whether Putin wasn't moving forward on some key reforms because he didn't really want to or because he was blocked by Boris Yeltsin holdovers. She says Putin's recent cabinet reshuffle should at least put that question to rest.
He's able to dismiss the government, put in a lot of ministers who clearly are dependent on him and aren't connected with the Yeltsin family or other oligarchic interests and so on. And so now we have a renewed opportunity to say, okay, now let's see what he's going to do with all this power and control that he's amassed.
As for foreign policy, the Putin-Bush friendship has had some strains. U.S. officials cite good cooperation in the war on terrorism, but Russia opposed the war in Iraq and has resisted U.S. pressure to cut off military cooperation with Iran. State Department officials have raised serious concerns about Russia's apparent muscle flexing in former Soviet republics and have called on Moscow to keep its pledge to pull troops out of Moldova and Georgia. Wallander says this will be one of the complex issues the U.S. will have to resolve with a more assertive Putin team.
One of the priorities for U.S. policy is to pay attention to not just what Putin says, but to what Putin and his new government, which is completely dependent on him, what they do. Do they move forward with negotiating the withdrawal of Russian forces, formerly Soviet bases, in neighboring countries in accordance with international law? So that's why the election may be a turning point.
For now, as the title of a recent op-ed by Secretary of State Colin Powell suggested, the U.S.-Russian partnership is a work in progress, as is Russia's democracy. A Washington Times columnist suggested that there should be a new field of study in the U.S., no longer Sovietology or Kremlinology, but rather Putinology. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.